I'm Maddie Garza from Dallas, Texas, and you're listening to Soundcheck from WNYC. But I'm never ride with you again.
A boy's gotta go. This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer, and this is the sound of Robin Hitchcock and the Venus Three, just one of the bands that he's led over the years. That's Peter Buck of REM on guitar. Robin also led the Egyptians in the 80s, and his first band, of course, the Soft Boys in the late 70s, and again for a bit in the 90s, and again for a bit in the early noughts. But through it all, Robin Hitchcock has toured widely as a solo artist, a modern, slightly surreal, often comic version of a troubadour. We've lost track of how many times he's been here on Soundcheck, but we're always happy to have him with guitar in hand. And here he is, Robin Hitchcock, with I Pray When I'm Drunk, live on Soundcheck.
Well, I pray when I'm drunk. I pray for guidance to get me from the sewer where I am. Yeah, I don't know who to. I pray to someone to get me on my way and give a damn. Yeah, I pray when I'm drunk. Pray when I'm sober. I'm grateful for the man that I've become. Yes, I swarm with the bees and I ooze with the mackerel and I think about you every time I strum. Some things can change. Some things you cannot change. All things are strange. So I pray when I'm drunk. I feel the hammer of judgment as it smashes on my soul. Yeah, I'm glad that I'm drunk. I feel more open to spiritual leanings that I hold. Yes, I'm glad when I'm drunk. Glad when I'm sober. I'm grateful for the hangover that's gone. And I'm grateful to you and all the pickings from the carcass of the life that I came from. From the carcass of the life that I came from.
That is Robin Hitchcock, live in the Soundcheck studio with I Pray When I'm Drunk. Robin Hitchcock, good to see you again.
And you, John, how is everything?
Very well. Is there a little more of a country twang to that song than we might have heard in the past?
Yeah. Well, I live in Nashville now.
Yeah.
You know, and so obviously that reflects my surroundings, although I wrote that song in Germany. But it doesn't really matter where you are now. You know, you're everywhere at once, and then you vanish.
Well, you don't. I mean, you seem to be everywhere. Last time you were here,
yeah,
you had just come back from the Arctic.
Yeah.
There was a trip up to the North Pole,
yeah.
And next week, you are going to South Africa on a music safari.
Yes, a bunch of people are going on a safari, not a hunting safari, just a, you know, taking out their iPhones safari and looking at South African wildlife in what is sounds like a really beautiful landscape. And we've been hired to go. I've been hired to go along with my partner Emma Swift and serenade them at the end of the day. And we get to look at everything too. So it's a very unlikely context. You know, mostly you play in clubs and theatres, some of which you might have been playing in, you, namely me,
have been playing in for perhaps 30 years. Yeah. So it's just a chance to play, probably to people who've seen me in most of those places, because I think all the lucky customers are from the States.
Mm.
So it'll probably remind them of seeing me in Maxwell's or, you know, the City Winery more recently, or wherever they've come from, you know, the Chicago Metro or something. And there we are. We'll be in a very different location.
Yeah. So will you actually be playing kind of like outdoors, in tents, or how do you know?
I would imagine that they have sort of, I don't know, like kind of, sort of whatever an igloo would be, a tagine, a tent, a yurt.
A tagine is the Moroccan covered dish.
I mean that shape, you know, somewhere between an igloo and a tagine, but without the couscous in it, but right. With us instead.
Big enough to fit you and Emma.
Big enough to fit and the lucky winners. And we'll be in there strumming away. It'll all be very point-blank range, but in a really, really unlikely landscape.
Have you ever been to that part of the world?
Never, never. And I never normally go anywhere unless I'm working.
Yeah.
So as we've been hired to do this, it's an excuse to go somewhere but still feel like I'm doing it, you know, doing a job. Yeah. I'm not just floating about.
Wow. And so you'll flee the snow for the much, much warmer climes of South Africa, Botswana, Zambia.
It's just South Africa. It's all in South Africa. I think.
Really?
We're going to Johannesburg.
Well, you are going up to Victoria Falls. I checked the itinerary.
And are we? Then we're over, yeah.
And then there's a day trip into Botswana, which is right next door.
Well, you know far more about it than I do. I'm just concentrating on doing these dates here in the Northeast.
Yeah.
When we get to South Africa, then we'll be there. But I haven't anticipated it at all. I've got a couple of spare sets of strings. and I figure we'll be okay.
Yeah. This song, I Pray When I'm Drunk, is a new song. You put another new song on your Facebook page recently. I guess it's up on SoundCloud.
Oh, Raymond and the Wires.
Yeah.
Yes, I might actually do that. Yes, I have. I always write songs, but I've now collected enough to make an LP, which is one of the things I'm doing in Nashville.
Mm-hmm. But you're road testing them now, basically.
Yes, I've already recorded some of them, actually, but I'm now thinking, you know, yeah, I am just singing them, you know. It's nice to have fresh songs, and then they go on the pile with all the others, and they become compost, and out of which the shows grow. The older a song is, the more it resonates with the listener. The only person who can get away with not doing that is Bob Dylan, because his songs just melt down after 20 years and they become unrecognizable, and he's proved that.
Yeah.
But if you want to see Dylan deliver a performance like he means it and like he's still interested in the song, you see him play stuff from the last 20 years, and it's still recognizable, and then it just kind of loses its shape. But to my mind, it's not improved. There are those who say, well, Bob's just working on his oeuvre, the paint never dries. And I just think, I think Bob has left that building, and his concession is to his fans that he'll play the old songs, but his concession to him is that he won't be able to recognize them.
Yeah, sometimes he's halfway through and you're, wait a minute, is this Tangled Up in Blue?
Well, I think he also does that just to amuse himself and
absolutely.
Them. You know, he can see him watching them with their notebooks, you know, and texting each other. It's a simple twist of fate. You know, no, Tangled Up. Oh, right, okay. Wow, they're playing a G there.
Yeah.
You kind of feel like if Dylan was able to go online at the same time, he'd be going, no, not yet. Gee, I think not. I mean, it's a game. You know, at my level, it's simply a matter of giving people enough stuff that they've lived with for a long time, and doing it in a sort of recognizable way. I mean, you know, my voice has dropped a bit, and I wouldn't hit some of the high notes, and a lot of them weren't. The arrangement will have changed a little bit, but my paint sort of dries a lot more than Dylan's, I guess. So my songs, I don't think, drift a great deal over 20 years. You'll get a little bit of like with an old building. Ooh, well, there's some subsidence there, Mr. Hitchcock. You know, ooh. I like playing the old songs. You know, I'm glad they've lasted, frankly. Yeah. You know, it's nice to think something one did 30 years ago is of interest to anybody as a, you know, I mean, that one does as a singer.
Yeah. But it's also nice to be able to work in, you know, new songs and have those, you know, what's the joke about, you know, these classic rock bands that reform and the one sentence you don't want to hear is now something from our new album, you know?
I think that's absolutely the case. You know, you want to play your new songs. I'm going to play my new songs now, but that's just because I've written them, and that's what always happens at radio sessions. And well, it's not too long anyway.
Yeah. Well, Mad Shelley's Letterbox is the one you're going to do next.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
And so is this ripped from the headlines? Was there a Mad Shelley who had a letterbox?
Oh, there's always a Mad Shelley who has a letterbox. Believe me. Hang on. Okay, here we go. Time is written on your face, and the cold white arms of memory embrace you. Love is all we lay to waste. Now it's only lips of loneliness that taste you. Oh God, you are beautiful. Oh God, you are beautiful. Oh God, Mad Shelley's letterbox is full of birthday cards. Mad Shelley's letterbox is full of birthday cards. Me, I never left the room. The light bulb that shone down on me was gloomy. I could read you by the moon. Boxes full of birthday cards. What can anybody say?
lovely song that is.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. And I don't even really understand what it's about, how the verses go with the chorus, but just beautiful.
Oh, thank you. I'm glad you like the sound of it. Yeah.
Yeah. Mad Shelley's Letterbox from Robin Hitchcock. It's a new song, and the new album, does it have a title yet?
It has so many titles, John. Every morning it wakes up and you know, taps me on the shoulder and says, what do you think about this thing? But it's definitely in there. That song sounds more like, sounds like The Who, the way we've recorded it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it has a terrific powerhouse drum performance. There's some great players in Nashville, as you might imagine.
Yes, yeah. So you really, you know, playing these songs, playing the old songs as you travel around, you've developed maybe it's not unique, but it seems like a very, very close relationship with your fan base, you know, where you invite them to submit requests to your Facebook page and stuff. So how do you go about deciding on a set list night after night?
Well, you know, it tends to be all drawn from the same pool. I mean, I've written hundreds of songs.
Yeah, that's maybe a pretty big pool.
Maybe recorded 500, but actually, there's probably only about 60 that I play regularly.
Uh-huh.
And the real thing for me is just not to have to play any one song every night. And never having been burdened with a hit record, I don't have to worry. But I know there's about 10 or so, 15 songs that are better known than the rest.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's always better to shut. I need to put a couple of those in. If I want people to respond sympathetically to a new song, I surround it by popular old favorite material.
Right.
So that, you know, they're just, the endorphins are rolling.
But that's just your own songs. Then you throw in all these covers.
Ah, well, that's kind of strategic. What I do is at the end of the set, I figure I've done my job. I've done my, you know, Robin Hitchcock songs, and I'm off duty, as it were. I can relax. I sometimes have a glass of wine or a bottle of wine or whatever, you know, and I change mode and I go into being, oh, let me play you something from my record library. It's a big record library. Oh, what have we got here? Oh, The Doors. I love The Doors, don't you? And I had Jim Morrison in the back of the biplane, one sort of splendid fellow. His scarf was flapping on my nose. It was amazing. The plane was going backwards, of course, but that's how Jim flew, you know.
Yeah.
So, and in that kind of mode, I will dig up old songs. And you know, obviously, cause Bowie's just left it's very sad, but it was also amazingly orchestrated, a truly Capricorn exit.
Yeah.
Both he and Lemmy went right after their birthdays and kept working right up to the end. And so I've been, you know, last night all my record collection songs were by Bowie.
Yeah.
But, you know, more and more of them are from people that are gone, but there are people that are still around, like Dylan and Brian Ferry and Neil Young. You know, mostly tends to be songs by men who are either dead or over 70. But, you know, that's what happens at the end. You wind up being both. You learn to play other people's songs and then you start writing your own. And then I suppose later on you can feel like, well, I'm an interpreter of these songs,
right.
I suppose. You know, hey, this is Robin Hitchcock's version. I'm not aware of interpreting them, but I've probably just got my own way of playing the guitar and phrasing now, which is me.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even know what it is, but it's eventually someone else will start doing it. They'll go, oh, he sounds like Robin Hitchcock, you know. But so this is me singing the old songs that I loved and love.
Yeah.
And, you know, some of them, yeah. Sorry.
At 19 and 20, were you a prodigy? Were you writing your own songs? Or whose were you covering back then?
I was wanting to cover. You know, I remember playing The Crystal Ship, which I actually did put on my last record. The
Doors
Joe
song,
Wood. Yep. I managed to get one of the chords wrong. you know, when I finally recorded it. But, you know, that or Visions of Johanna, which I still do in my live set, which is, I think, the that's the matrix. I've said many times, Dylan's whatever it was, I think that Dylan distilled it best on that song. And I was trying that back then, but my own songs were pitiful. And actually, I was not a prodigy. I didn't have any natural musical gift, but I loved it so much. I kind of forced myself to become an okay songwriter. But believe me, you know, the first 150 weren't very good.
Yeah.
Like I kind of got it going in the late Soft Boys, but I was 25, 26 before I wrote anything decent. And I started writing at 17, so there was a long, you know,
apprenticeship.
A long apprenticeship, yeah. But some people, I mean, Bowie and Ferry both kind of, I think, got good in their mid-20s and sort of peaked in, around 30, whatever that, you know, whereas I think the previous lot, the Dylan and the Beatles and Sid Barrett, my musical hero, all kind of, it all came whooshing out at 21, and actually they were all, by the time they were 30, they were, or in Barrett's case, 25, they were, that was it, you know. They weren't going to do anything vital. So it just, it's different zeitgeist.
So you have a decision to make here about what you want to do next.
Yeah, I think I'll actually play Raymond and the Wires, because this is, this too has been, recorded, and I've played it a few times, but this is a celebration of two vanished things. The trolley bus, which is, there's a few left in the States. They're like ordinary buses, but they have overhead wiring like streetcars.
Right.
And the British had their own gorgeous double-decker version, which is utterly gone. And my father, who is also gone, but they're both in this song. So it's called Raymond and the Wires.
Robin Hitchcock here playing live on Soundcheck.
Here we go, Raymond and the Wires. My eyes have seen the trolley bus on her pneumatic tires, vamping down the high road, drinking from the wires. My eyes have seen the trolley bus, her rivets and her wheels, kinking electricity. I wonder how that feels. I wonder. My eyes have seen the trolley bus in 1964. I caught one with my father. We climbed through the back door. We couldn't sit upstairs because my father's leg was bad. He spoke to me behind the glass. He was a lonesome dad. My eyes have seen the trolley bus, the silent way she moves. You miss it if you never had it. I guess that's what this proves. I never knew my father close, although I took him in. He travels round beside me now. He goes everywhere I've been. My eyes have seen the trolley bus.
That's called Raymond and the Wires, another new song from Robin Hitchcock. There's a version on your SoundCloud page with piano in addition to the guitar.
That's right. That's Charlie Francis playing the piano, who engineered that session in Cardiff. And, everything I've recorded in Nashville, pretty much I've also kind of demoed in Cardiff. I'm making sure I've got the raw version of the song as well as the finish,
right.
So it's there, just right. in case, you know, whatever one record can... I don't know, like Lucinda Williams, there was a Lucinda Williams album, and she just put all the demos out as well as the proper version. And I think I was probably most touched by listening to the demos. Some people just, you know, like it with a band. Sometimes it's just the pure song. So I'm just going to, you know, make sure it's all there this time.
So Nashville and Cardiff. So some Welsh country music coming down the pike.
Oh, Nashville and Cardiff. Can't beat it, man. Center of the universe. Get me up in the valleys.
Is that why, you know, it occurs to me, I started this segment with your song Briggs, and we're going to conclude with a little bit of San Francisco Patrol.
Oh, yeah.
Both of those are San Francisco-based songs, and there's the trolleys there.
Oh, San Francisco has trolley buses and trams. You can walk down Market Street, and they're both happening at once. I have a mindgasm when I'm out there. is it any coincidence? I love San Francisco, but it's much more practical being in Nashville, but I love it there, and it's another great city.
Well, we're always glad to have you here with us in our New York studio. Robin Hitchcock,
John.
Great to see you.
Thanks very much. See you soon. I can't take my eyes off you.
If you like Soundcheck, consider subscribing to our podcast. It's easy. Just find us in the iTunes store and click on Subscribe. We'll send you our latest interviews, in-studio performances, and more.
What is this life? Watching out for someone but you.